your host for Late Night Whenever. Please give it up for Michelle Buteau.
What's up, New York City? I'm Michelle Buteau. Welcome to Late Night Whenever. Please give it up for my sidekick, my black Dr. Phil, Mr. Rob Lewis. Yes, honey. How y'all feeling? Yes, you guys sound hot. I'm not mad at it. I'm so glad I bought this dress on the internet for this
shit. You look great.
Right? It might be going back, but who cares? I had a very productive day, Rob. How was your day?
My day was great. It's brought me here, Michelle.
It brought you here?
Yeah, my day has brought me here, so it was a great day. That's an odd question. How was your day?
I didn't say that.
They're
just on already.
It's a great day.
Your day brought you here? That just sounds like you took a lift. I can never get that love. I had a very productive day. I did laundry. That was a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used the fabric softener. I was real adult about all that shit. I packed the dishwasher. That's a big deal. Nobody asked me. I just did it. I did some writing. Ooh, this is my favorite part of the day. I got a bikini wax. Yeah. It's Taco Tuesday, motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of hairy. I was there for a while.
Whoa.
And I'm a good person. I am a very good host. I put scented lotion on my feet. You know what I mean? Because I'm just like, let's just enjoy this together. But she did something weird today that I was just like, oof. The wax was really hot. And then so she poured it on, but then she blew on it a little bit. And I didn't know if I wasn't excited, but I was so grateful. Because she was really looking out just for my lady bit so hard. And if my lips could have said thank you, they would have. Yeah, man, she blew on it, and I was like, nah, I just got to tip her an extra $10. That is a lot of work. I don't know. I've been married for 8 years. We've been together 10, and I feel like maintenance is important. It's sort of like not only taking care of yourself, you know, for yourself. It's like you're presenting yourself to your partner like, hey, this is for you. Am I the only one married? Make some noise if you're in a relationship. Make some noise if you get dressed up for your partner. All right, girl, calm down. I will say, like, 10 years in, date night with my husband, definitely is sex, but it's, like, always, it's always a big dinner before. Like, I don't know how you get down, but, like, after 5 years, it's just, like, we get all the appetizers. We only wear stretchy pants. We bump bellies and go to bed. It's fucking amazing. No, I just love date night with my husband because it really makes me reminisce of all the bad dates I had. And I had them. But it's insane, the shit that people will tell you on a date. I went out on a date one time, he was a trainer. And when we were wrapping up the dinner bill, he goes, you know what, this is really nice. I was like, it is very nice. He's like, I've never been attracted to someone your size before.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, next.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Bye.
I also went out with this dude one time, and we ordered 2 Cosmopolitans. That's how long ago this shit was. Sex in the City was like in season 3, I had Cosmopolitans. And this motherfucker paid for 2 fucking martinis in quarters. Like had them rolled up and ready to go. And on the one hand, I was like, ew. But on the other hand, I was like, thank you for being prepared. You know, obviously he can't afford my habit.
Quarters at a bar?
Quarters at a bar, yeah.
That's why.
Like a nice lounge.
Bye.
Yeah, but that's okay. I was like, good for you. This is like your first real date. Like most guys probably would have tried to open a credit card. Oh, and then this one time I was like doing internet dating just for like 2.2 seconds. Because when I was single, a lot of my friends just like, you know, you're very busy, everyone's busy, just put yourself out there. And I was like, okay. And I went on this website called blinddate.com. I don't think it's a website anymore. And I thought it was like really interesting because you never see the, obviously it's a blind date. You don't see what the person looks like. It's a pixelated picture. Ooh, that was a big word. And I remember going out with this dude. I met him and he was so large. When I say large, I just mean like a big man, 6'7", 6'8". He looked like Shaquille O'Neal and Urkel had a baby. Just a big, black, beautiful nerd. And I was like, where the fuck you come from? And he was so big, y'all.
How big
was he? Oh, that was so terrible. I love it. We went to 3 different restaurants so he could find a chair to fit his body. Yes, but she couldn't fit into a chair, honey. So we ended up at a pub because he got a bench. And so I immediately fell for him. I was not attracted to him, but I was like, he's got a fucking story. This man can't go anywhere. Like, he's never sitting on the subway. Do you know what I mean? I just felt like, Green Mile, I love you. And and then, you know, he started to open up, and he was just like, you know, I kind of like to go against the grain. I was like, okay, am I a witness? What's going on? And he's like, you know, I'm really into goth. And I was like, I know. I was like, you're like a fucking unicorn. Keep going. And he's like, and I also DJ goth cruises. Did y'all, am I blowing your fucking mind right now? Did you know there was a fucking goth cruise? Liars. Yeah, apparently, like, if you're too old to go out on the weekend for goth. For goth? I sound like someone's mom. For goth. To boogie. You can go on a cruise and hang. And so he would DJ these cruises for goth people and their kids. And I was like, I wish I was in those therapy sessions for those kids. And the date was over and he's like, I'd love to send you some pictures of me and my goth stuff. I was like, I would love to see it. Yes, I would. I would love to see that. I need a good story for brunch. Let's do this. And he sent me this picture. This motherfucker was in a corset. And some stockings. Okay, it's right. And he still looked beautiful. I was like, good for you, honey, you go. Also, I was like, how the fuck did this motherfucker find a corset to fit him? He couldn't even find a chair. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm so mad I'm not attracted to him because any man that can afford a custom-made corset can afford a good dinner. Have you had a bad date?
Nah, yep. I don't, you know, I haven't been a dater in my life. I've always kind of waited on the connection and then that way, you know, and that's out of shyness and introvertedness and, you know, you kind of wait for the connection and then you go in for like, well, let's go out for drinks and let's chat. And then it don't end up being a date.
Are you every Gabrielle Union movie? Like, what are you even talking about?
I'll tell you about a bad date though.
Okay.
Last year, my girl, a milestone of a birthday, we went out and we balled. And I mean, we went to this exclusive club, bottles.
Yeah.
I mean.
Is this the one I went to?
Yeah,
I
carte blanche, carte blanche.
Yeah, you got bottles and french fries. I was like, oh shit.
We got more than fries.
I was like, I know these fries are $75.
Yeah. And at the end of the night, right in front of her, the card was declined. That's a fucking bad date. That's a bad date. It all got straightened out. You know, it's one of those fraudulent things, you know, that you couldn't be spending that much money tonight, you know, but it ended up happening. But that's a bad date to me.
Yeah, I guess. But when you're with someone, you're like, okay, you understand.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you ain't going to get your dick sucked, but you get it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We have more show for y'all. Y'all motherfucking ready? Yes. I don't date. Can't wait to bring my first guest, Uwana. He's got a 1-hour special airing on Comedy Central later this year. You can also check out his web series, Bay Ridge Boys. Please give it up for Chris DiStefano.
Hi. Hi. Hello.
Sit here.
Okay. Hi.
Hey, Christopher.
Hi.
Do you want some Prosecco, white, red?
Sure, I'll do red. It's
oh
good
my
for
God.
The heart. Heart health.
You're so Italian. I love it.
Well, yeah, you know.
Oh, my God. Tell me about your special. I had no idea you had a 1-hour.
I did a 1-hour Comedy Central special a few months ago in Brooklyn. That's where I'm from. And are you originally from Brooklyn?
No.
Oh, you don't say anything. just, no, no, no. I'm kidding. See, look, she got offended. Triggered.
She did.
I know, she got offended. That's like the new Brooklyn. But watch my special. It's literally all about you. It's 100% about the new people. Hi. But no, thank you. I'm
well,
kidding.
What was Brooklyn like back in the day?
Brooklyn back in the day was fucking wild, okay? I mean, I was born and raised in Bushwick. So it's like it's very different now. But I was like pre-gentrification. So like where like the Roberta's Pizza is like that's like everyone's like, eh, fucking cool. That's where I'm not lying to you, I saw my first dead body. Like 10 feet away from there, there was just a, you know, guy who...
You were stand-by need in Bushwick?
Yes. Everybody's mom was like, nobody can go past Flushing Avenue. When I was, like, in the 90s, like, we just weren't allowed to go down there. Nobody's family. If you weren't from there, he's like, you just could not go. And now it's like, there's fucking gluten-free everything down there. It's good to see, you know, really, at first, you know, like, any group of new people, we're like, who are these people? But now, you know, it's nice, they're friendly, you know? They're offended a lot, but what are you going to do, you know? People get upset, you know? I mean...
Do you still live in Brooklyn?
Yeah. I still, like, I own the house that I grew up in, and then I have a place in Bay Ridge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know.
I didn't know Guy Code paid like that.
Yeah. Well, no, was that...
Did you get your break on Guy Code?
Yeah. I don't know if I've gotten necessarily a break yet, but yeah, the first time I was on TV was Guy Code. Yeah. Guy
get
Code and
here.
Girl Code. Yeah, the MTV stuff.
And did you
stuff.
Think it was going to be such a fucking hit?
No, I didn't. I didn't know. I was a physical therapist still at the time, so I was like still working as a physical therapist and then in a school... And then,
hold the front
girl,
fucking door.
You don't even know.
Oh my God. Yeah. You were a physical therapist. You went to school like for medical stuff.
Yes.
And then you graduated.
Yeah. That's how I first started getting spots in comedy. Cause like, as you know, like when you first start out in comedy, like you have to like hand out flyers or like, you know, bring five people and then they'll let you on stage.
Yeah,
like
as show, a new comic. Bark, inside baseball, y'all.
But like, if I would like, go for like look at someone who was like running a show or like an owner of a club and like look for like a limp or like a problem with their shoulder and I'd be like, I can help you. And then I would like massage them and get stage time.
Oh my God.
That's how I got spots in the beginning, is just giving people free health advice. Because, you know, nobody had health insurance.
Yeah.
So I would just fucking, take a look at their knee. Every comic too. And then they start, but then it's like, I would explain to them, like, I'm a physical therapist. Like, I can, you know, I do like bones, you know, joint, musculoskeletal, but like everybody would be like, is this an STD? I'd be like,
Oh my God.
Why do I am looking down your pee hole? Like so many people like who you know now are like extremely famous. I've seen their urethra. Like I've just looked right down it.
Who?
No, I can't tell.
Come on.
But like big people. Well, you know how it is. See, the thing is with New York comics, people fucking blow up quick.
Yeah.
Like real quick. Like we've known Michelle Wolf for, you know, 10 years and now she's like, woo. So it's like that shit happens with so many. So I know a lot of, you know, personal medical histories of some people who are like, oh really? But TMZ would pay big money, but I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not a rat.
Oh my
not a rat.
God.
I don't say anything.
I love that. Do you feel like you have to explain yourself? Do people automatically think you're like Brooklyn trash?
I think, you know what it is with me? A lot of people don't believe like that I was like educated or like, you know, like stuff like nobody ever believes that I have like an education. They're like, no, stop. But my mom, because my dad was like legit like a criminal, like a real deal, like federal prison criminal, you know? And he would,
Rikers?
Yeah. No, like real deal, like federal, like Pennsylvania, like he was like got charged with like racketeering and like FBI where he was like, it wasn't me. I'm like, they have 10 years of surveillance footage on you.
Oh my God.
Going in there like, of course it was you. But so like he was that, like real like not dirtbag, but like just a criminal. And then my mom is like extremely like bright, articulate. And she was very much like, you cannot be like your father. So you have to like... She pushed me to education, but she would always try to like make me like not sound like a talking sewer. But I can't, like I'll always sound like a garlic knot, but at least I did what my mom wanted to do and I got an education. But like I'm still my father's son, you know? I'm not violent or anything like that. I'm not a criminal, but I fucking can't pronounce the words right.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
What's like one of the hardest words for you?
The hardest words for anything like with an R, you know, like we just kind of skip it. Like,
oh my God.
So, like I can't just say anything that ends with an R. But,
also, like I can't roll my R, so I can never speak Spanish. So I'm like, Pedro.
Where are you from?
Jersey.
Oh.
Yeah. So wait, let's get back to physical therapy. So like I was an editor for the news and I was like, this is terrible. And I would do overnights and also do comedy at night.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a physical therapist? and doing comedy at the same time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like a pediatric physical therapist with like mentally and physically handicapped kids, like in a school. Yeah,
oh,
so like
my
life just doesn't make people like, no, you're not. You're fucking lying. Like even when I walked into the school, they're like, you're the new therapist? I was like, yeah. And they were like, what?
I love it.
Yeah, and then I was like, I swear, it's me. And then... because they just nobody believed. Like my first day of physical therapy school, I swear to God, I went and I was like, I'm here for physical therapy program, and they were like, are you the janitor? And I was like, no, I'm a student. And that was the dean, and she like got me into the school. She's like, I don't remember putting you in the school. I was like, I have the acceptance letter, you know. And then so I was doing comedy. I would do like, you know, open mics, and like I would start my day at like 7 a.m. you know, go get the kids off the bus, work with them all day, you know, my caseload. And then do open mics and whatever show I could get on till like, you know, 2 a.m. You know how it is in the beginning. So I was like burning the candle at both ends. And then I got on Guy Code. And then Guy Code started to become like really popular amongst like young, you know, like a younger crowd. And a lot of, when you work with like, you know, a lot of disabled children come from younger mothers, or at least my caseload did, because, you know, they didn't have the proper prenatal care or whatever.
Right.
So a lot of the moms were like recognizing me. They'd be like, oh, I saw you last, and like that was fine. They were like, but you know, Guy Code, it's like you're talking about the Guy Code to like hide your boner. So it's like, so like you can't, the principal of the school is like, you cannot like do that and do this. It's too much of a conflict of interest, the material, the subject matter. She's like, so you're gonna have to choose. So yeah, so I you know, I had no choice.
Did you ever date a mom?
Huh?
Did you ever date a mother?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but she was like, you know, whatever. She was cool. No, I didn't like, you know, yeah. I mean, whatever. I wasn't working as a therapist anymore. I was a comedian.
I feel like every time you say whenever, you're just plugging my show.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Yeah, I did. Yeah. But that's whatever.
Was your family supportive?
Late night, whatever. No, my family, only my dad. In the beginning, my mom and my whole family turned their back on me.
Because you were doing comedy?
Well, yeah, because I had like a doctorate degree and I was like this whole like... thing, and
you're
my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom was like, I cannot believe, like, why would you, like, you're not gonna make it in comedy. That's what she was like, this is a stupid thing. Even the principal of the school is like, this is so, you're not gonna make it. Like, why would you leave a job with like health benefits and like a good salary to try to comedy? Why would you do that? But my dad was the only one who was like, I fucking do it. My dad was like, just do it. Forget what everybody says. He's like, you can live in my basement. You're 25 years old. Now's the time to do it. And then just like a couple of weeks after I left the job, MTV gave me like an overall contract and basically like tripled my physical therapy salary, and I haven't looked back since.
Oh my God, yeah. That's like, you better clap for that. Yeah. That is so beautiful.
Thanks.
What was it like growing up with a dad in prison?
I mean, he's fucking wild. The efforts to like shield it from me were hilarious. Like my dad was in jail, and my mom would be like, oh, come on, let's go visit your father. He's upstate camping. You know, I'm like, he's behind fucking bulletproof glass. It's like, you know, it's weird. I'm going to kill myself. So it's like, you know, and like he would tell me like, you know, like just, yeah, like, oh, it's, they got the wrong guy, Chris. This is just a big misunderstanding. I'm like, you've been here for 9 years, you know? Like,
Did you write him letters? Did you have to go for Christmas or?
Yeah. We would go like holidays and stuff, see him. I would, you know, and as I got older, like I would just drive up and see him.
Yeah. You have a kid now.
I do. She's going to be 3.
Fuck.
She's beautiful.
You are responsible for a life.
A life. And she's half Puerto Rican. So it's like wild. Yes.
Oh, look.
Yes. Are you? Yeah, dude. Woo! Half Puerto Rican, half Italian. Those are emotional cultures. She's a very dramatic, traumatic little girl.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Very fucking... Yeah, I mean, she's only 3, but she's like a mini woman, you know? Like, she's very pissed. She's like pissed all the time. She's mad at me. She's 3 years old, and she's just like always... Like, the other day, I came home, and she was like, oh, look who decided to show up. I was like, what? I was like, I'm your dad. I went to get you almond milk. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I don't care, Danny. But she's so lovable, too. I mean, you know, she's my whole world and whatever. But she's just, yeah, she's another person. I'm scared. Very scared of her. Very scared of her. I can already tell. I'm like, you're just like your mom. Crazy. Yeah.
Are you with her mom?
We're like in a gray zone.
Okay.
We both love our kids so much.
Well, that's great.
We love our kid. We're like, that's... my daughter has no idea. My daughter's just like, my parents are, you know, love each other and all that. So we do a good job with that. But you know how shit is. We didn't even know each other, me and me and her mom. We just like, we had, well, we knew each other. It wasn't like glory hole, you know? Like,
I was like, tell me the zip code. We got some single people in the audience.
We knew each other, but like, we had only went out on a couple of dates. And then she like conceived our daughter. And so,
wow.
Like, tried, yeah. So we like tried, you know, like made it work. And
okay.
Yeah. So, but
so what kind of fun? I mean, I don't know what her side is like. And now I know that your dad was in prison, but just seems like a really great guy.
Yeah.
What kind of dad do you want to be? Like, if your daughter 30 years from now is sitting on this couch, what do you think she's going to be saying about you?
First of all, like, my whole everything is for her now. Like, I'm one of those parents where it's like, she's first. Like, even with career stuff, like, there's been gigs that I've turned down where I'm like, I don't want to be away from my kid for 2 weeks. I don't care. Right. Unless the money's like going to change her life, then I'll do it. But it's like, she's priority. Like, even if it was like, oh, I can't do comedy and I have to go back to physical therapy, but it means more time with her, I would do that. So like, I want that. Yeah, I don't care. Like, when some of my peers, when they're like, oh yeah, I'm going away from my kid for 2 months, but you know, it's about the career. It's like, is this, you fucking dirtbag? Like, you have a child. You know, it's like, it should be about your child. So my dad, and I get that from my dad. My dad was very much like, I want to be your dad. He was just, you know, incarcerated. So it's like, he was like, I'm trying to be your dad, but I only got one phone call in a day here. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
So, but I want her to say that I'm her hero.
That's so sweet. You should have more children.
I would love to.
All right, there's some single
I don't
ladies
pull out,
here.
You know.
Oh, so much more again. With Chris when we come back. Bring my next guest out. Man, he is dope as fuck. You might know him from the Jersey Shore on MTV. Now he's back with the Jersey Shore Family Vacation. Please give it up for Vinny Guadagnino!
Hello.
Hi, Vinny.
Hi. Hi, everybody. What's up?
Would you like some wine?
No, thank you.
No Prosecco?
No, I don't drink wine.
I'll take
more
wine.
I'm a bad Italian. I don't drink wine.
Are you still on paleo?
Yeah.
What do you eat in a day?
I eat like eggs and bacon and steak and vegetables. Are you like just...
Somebody goes, whoa. Like, that just blew your fucking mind?
Blew our mind. Bacon.
Yeah, that's what I take at the buffet and keep it moving. It's like, especially at Whole Foods, because it's not heavy. So I can fill the box.
Yeah.
That box gets so expensive. That
it does.
Box turns into like $72.
It does.
For fucking quinoa and organic mac and cheese. What the fuck? So you're also from Staten Island. I mean, not also like you're from Staten Island, but the Northeast to me is all
I'm lumped in.
The same. What was it like growing up in Staten Island?
A lot of Italian people. Staten Island is just like, it's the forgotten borough of New, it's part of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. They think like it's Ellis Island. Like it's just like a little island that you just walk around, but it has like a highway. I think it's bigger than Manhattan. Like it doesn't seem as big because like there's no buildings, but it's like a big place with like neighborhoods and shit.
And a mall.
And a Staten
and
Island mall. Actually, the mall's getting popping. They're like putting a Cheesecake Factory in it now. So it's getting...
That's what's up.
You know, I watch the History Channel a lot, and sometimes they'll put like fun facts after like in like those like interstitial commercial breaks, and it said the FBI believes that over 90% of the existing Italian mafia live on Staten Island. So, yeah.
What are like the biggest... Because you guys are very Italian. What are the biggest misconceptions y'all get?
That we're hairy. I'm like a hairless. I'm like a fucking sphinx. That we're hairy. That we're in the mafia. We're
not.
I mean, my dad was, but that's like whatever. It's like one fucking.
Not doing a good job, Chris.
Yeah, I was like shit.
So your mom is from Sicily, yes?
Yeah.
I love that she went from one island to like another island.
Yeah, there's a lot of Sicilians and Italians on Staten Island. They actually never. They've probably been back to Sicily and Italy more than they've been to Manhattan.
Wow.
Like they don't leave Staten Island. They don't leave like they're like I bought my mom a house like 15 minutes away from my aunt.
Look at you guys. Yeah.
That's an Italian stereotype. We buy things for our mothers. I'm always giving my mom shit.
It's true, though. Yeah. It's not like a misconception.
That is a stereotype.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love how close you are with your mom. Like, you had a cooking show, like a traveling cooking show with your mom.
Yeah, actually, what people like, they say, like, you're on a show with your mom, and it's great, and it is, and it's going to be a memory for the rest of my life, but it's hard.
It's like the Oscars for Italian boys.
True, true. Yeah.
That's like, you can't get any better than that.
True.
Yeah. You got your mom on TV.
It's very hard traveling with your mom. Like, can you imagine? Like,
no.
You know, everything is like a fucking problem. Like, my anxiety is just like off the rails with her, you know?
What was one of the wildest experiences you had with your mom traveling? Did she forget her luggage? Was it lost? Heartburn?
No, I just like, it was different. I'm used to like going on the road and like doing club appearances and like banging girls, and I was like, I'm like with my mom, so I'm just like, I couldn't do it. She's like in the room next to me, she's like ironing my clothes.
Did she change a little bit, like when she got on the show, when you know you guys had your show, was she all of a sudden like diva-ish?
A little bit.
That's
she,
funny.
She makes comments, people stop her for, she's like, I can't even go in the mall anymore, you know. People stop her and take pictures with her. She's like a big part of Jersey Shore. She, like, my family became like a character in itself, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so for anyone living under a motherfucking rock, can you please describe what the show Jersey Shore is?
Do I really have to?
Yeah.
It's, well, we were all like random strangers that the show casted. We didn't know what we were going to do. They just said, do you like going to Jersey Shore? And we were like, yeah. And actually, the casting was like, are you orange? Are you? Do you have muscles? Do you have like bandanas with the Italian flag on them? And that was the original casting thing. And I was kind of like the anti that. I filled it out and I was like, I'm not. I don't have muscles. I'm pale. I went to school. You know,
Leo.
I'm close to my family.
What? Get it? Pale Leo. All right.
Hey. Come on, you
I liked
up
it.
Here
I liked
this.
It, Michelle. I respect it.
I'm gonna
I respect
use that.
The pun.
Come on,
I respect
your dad
it.
Is a dad joke.
It's a dad. That's why I liked it. I was like, I was like saving it.
Yeah. So then they casted us, and then we went, and like when we were doing all that shit, like when Snooki got punched in the face and all that, like
I keep hearing about this.
You didn't see it?
No, I
didn't
see
that.
I really think that was the pivotal moment for Snooki.
Absolutely,
Snooki
and the best
the
thing that ever happened. We thank that guy.
America.
Yeah, seriously. No, but she admits it too. Like it was what made it the show like so famous.
Yeah, it really. But I feel like it endeared America towards her
she
too.
She has a strong chin.
Yeah.
She took.
That girl could take a punch,
bro.
Yeah.
I've seen other people, guys, take punches. They like Mike. He got into a fight in our show. He was crying for 2 days. She fucking like took that shit. She was drinking right after. She was fine.
That's insane. How did you get That's used wild. To having cameras out with you?
It's hard. You get used to it because they film us 24 hours a day. You don't have a cell phone. You don't have a computer. You don't have
holy
internet.
Shit. This is Survivor.
Yeah. That's why you didn't text me back.
Yo, what you guys exactly? What you guys see is like nothing compared to like what is really happening there. You see a bunch of people having fun. We're like just in a fucking hamster cage for a month with cameras watching us sleep 24 hours a day and then just going through it. Then when you get out, you just like just got out of jail. You're like, what the fuck?
So I was talking about bad dates before. Y'all came out. Did y'all ever have a bad date? Or were you the bad date? Ow. Flip it in reverse it.
What's the worst date? I mean, I've had, see, I'm kind of just a go with the flow kind of guy.
Oh,
so I think I've definitely like have been a bad date for a woman, and I not intentionally, but just like, you know, what's the worst date I've ever had? I had a date once where the girl who I was, it was like 20 years old. We were driving on the BQE, and the cab slowed down. Like, it was approaching traffic, slowed down, and she rolled out of the car. She rolled out of the car, like, onto the BQE. And, like, the police came, and, it was like a whole thing.
No, you're making this up.
I swear to God,
you saw an episode of Law & Order.
I swear to God, I thought we were going to her apartment to, like, potentially have sex, and she rolled out of the car on the BQE. And the police came, and it was like a whole thing, and they were like, what happened? I was like, I thought things were going well.
No.
And then she rolled out of the car into traffic on the BQE, and they were like, you can go home. I was like, I'll just go home. That's a real thing that happened.
No.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Oh, my God. God, shout out to that bitch.
Yeah, I know. She's probably
just
dead right now.
Stopped, drop, and roll like she was in a Liam Neeson movie.
She was, I mean.
She was about to fight Grey Wolves.
I couldn't believe she did that. And then she had no explanation why she did that. Like, we stopped and we were like, what? Is everything okay? She's like, I'm fine. Guys, I'm fine. And she had like pieces of like pavement on her arms. And we were like, you're not fine. You don't have skin on your shoulders. She was like, guys, like, let's just go. That's, yeah, I would say that's like top 10 wildest.
Shit, what about you?
Yeah, I can't follow that.
That's okay, we'll fix it in post.
I was gonna say I had a girl fucking send her drink back 3 times.
Yeah. Send her drink back 3 times?
3 times,
why didn't she just go behind the bar and make it herself?
I thought I was, like, the second time, I was like, cause the first time, I'm like, all right, that's like, okay, like, you know.
It happens.
Like, it happens. I wouldn't do it, but understandable. The second time,
was it a mojito? They fuck up mojitos.
I think it was margarita or a mojito. It might, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just so you
really, I mean, really? Third time?
Well, sometimes you have a hankering for a Rita. I get it.
But the third time, the third time
you should just get tequila on ice with some lime.
But you had to know, the third time that drink had spit in it.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No way that did not have just some type of fluid in that drink.
I don't think people spit and stuff anymore.
Oh, people, well, whatever, maybe
Why
worse
Why is
then.
Everyone shaking their head yes?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the perfect time for game time. Ow. I'm fine. Thanks for asking, everybody. It's time to talk to some audience members who have some questions, but they're just asking for a friend, but we know what that really means. Now if you got a crazy question, that's embarrassing. You can listen, just ask for a friend. Oh, it's so good. Play it again, Rob. Now if you got a crazy question, that's
embarrassing. You can listen, just ask for a friend. Good job.
Oh, I love it so much.
That was dope.
So much.
I loved it.
All right. Okay. Is there a Ken L in the His House? Hi, Ken. Let's get you a microphone,
and...
honey.
And
hi, everyone. Perfect people for advice. My friend was wondering, how do you keep the party going into your late 20s, early 30s, when society and everyone tells us that we have to act like adults and, you know, go to bed at 9 o'clock?
I mean,
honestly, yeah. That's like the entire premise of, I'm not trying to plug the show, but of Jersey Shore Family Vacation. No, yeah. Literally, because they could have gotten like new people to do it.
Yeah.
But they wanted, like, because some of them are mothers, they have kids now. And, you know, like you said, you're older now. How are you going to keep drinking and blah, blah, blah. But we're just setting the example like that you still can keep doing those things. Like moms party fucking harder than anybody
moms
else
need it.
I've ever met.
Yeah.
Because they escape their kids and they go fucking hard.
They don't have to wipe shit. They can go to the bathroom and have both hands.
Exactly. And for me personally, honestly, like for more of like a settling down thing, like I thought that when I was going to be 30 years old, it's like time to settle down. And when I reached 30 years old, like I felt the youngest now that I've ever felt before. It's like, this is my really last time to be young. So take advantage of it, you know, not the opposite, like you're old now. That's not my personal experience.
What say you, Robert?
I say balance. I say that your body and your life will just tell you when you've had enough. Like, you know, when I'm just saying, like, I can really fall asleep at 10 o'clock. I can stay woke until 3 a.m. still. But the older you get, the more it tells you, you know what I'm saying? But balance, like, you can have a good time and live life just as long as the adulting part is popping just as much as the fun.
Can I
That's what you learn.
Can I
get.
Like buy your voice? I mean, have you ever like? That's the best voice. I could just listen to that voice all the. That, you could tell me to do whatever, and I would listen to you.
You I, whenever,
literally, I'm far. I'm in your cult. What a great voice.
Oh yeah, that's why.
Yeah, like. Just do what you want to do. Go nuts. You know your own shit. We're all going to die anyway, so fucking...
Yeah, go to Costco, go get out some swinging. Gatorade, do it.
Whatever you need to do, bro. Right,
thanks for the Ken advice. L. Thank you, Ken L. Yeah. Last question is from Becca. Becca, where you at, honey? Yes, let's get Becca. Mike, she's right in the front.
Becca, New Brooklyn. Here we go.
New Brooklyn.
This question better be politically correct.
What are you going to do about your new Starbucks and bike rack?
Something like that. So my friend has a friend who never pays her portion of the bill at the bar, at brunch. Love that brunch.
Love brunch, yeah.
At dinner, and how should my friend confront her without it becoming like
an issue?
Thing? Yeah.
Is your
super
friend
awkward.
Really hot?
No. Well.
Ooh.
Said that
she
way
just
too
said
quickly.
No, and then looked way at too, her friend and was like,
wait. Yeah, it was quick.
No, no, like quick. As in, it's not like other people are paying for us. It's like I'm paying for her. It's not like we're at the bar and like other people are paying for her. It's like, okay, who wants to put in their cards or wants my Venmo account? And it's like crickets. She just won't answer.
But how does she, but you're allowing her to do that. Like you have to just.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah, like make her pay.
I know.
Yeah, you're choosing the position to be the caretaker. And now you have to choose the position to be the bad parent. She's still
but
gonna
how
like
do
you.
I like that's not like for me. I wouldn't just be like, "Hey, put your card in." That's just like not my vibe.
It
so like,
be.
How do you say it?
Well,
you
I'm know? Just
I'll
saying
just say,
for
like
her.
If the bill is like $30, just be like, "Okay, we all owe 10."
Yeah,
you know,
all.
Like or just start dating Italian guys because we will never. Yeah. The most disrespectful thing in the world is for someone else to pay the check. Like if I had no fucking money, I will find a way to pay that check. Because if you pay for me, I would not be able to live with myself if you ever paid for me. So I'll
Are
pay
you
for
serious?
You.
Serious?
Yeah, right? Isn't that a... Well, you can't pay for... Like, if you and I went out to dinner tonight, we would get into a fist fight over the
paying.
Check.
Yeah, that's true. But I did. When a girl starts
I'm
taking...
I'm hungry, so let's go to dinner.
Michelle, you'll literally...
You're not paying.
I'll pay for you, your husband, your family. I'll pay for fucking everybody.
Rob, you hungry?
Rob, you're
I'm starving.
As long as you
my
talk.
My husband's clapping.
As long as you talk, I'll keep...
Oh, my God. Give it up for Chris and Vinny. So fucking funny.
Rob. What a fucking show. What a fucking night. Taco Tuesday. Sitting here with like a bald eagle between my legs. Just feeling so hot. You know, I really wish this was a Mother's Day episode because I learned so much about Italian men. They love the fuck out of their mothers. And they will fucking cut you if you try to pay the bill. Also, I'm kind of low-key curious what happened to that girl that jumped out of the fucking car. Not only did I learn a lot, I still have burning questions. And I want to hit up Becca's friend to make her pay for that fucking bill. You guys been amazing. I'm a shove you toe. That's Rob Lewis. That's Chris. That's Vinny. This has been Late Night Whatever.
Late Night Whenever is brought to you by WNYC Studios. This podcast is produced by Joanna Solitaroff, Paula Schumann, Jennifer Sendro, Daniel Guimet, Adam Teicholz, Jamie York, and Marianne Schauberg, with Isaac Jones, Chase Colpin, Sarah Sambach, Caroline English, and Melissa Chusid. Music by Rob Lewis. Add music by Isaac Jones. Follow us on Twitter. We're posting fun videos, photos, and more. I don't know what the more is exactly. Maybe it's a retweet or whatever, a GIF, a meme. And don't forget to subscribe to Late Night Whenever, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God. Speak of the devil. In Jamaica, if you say someone's name and then they all of a sudden like call or like show up, that means they're going to have a long life. I also had a dream this morning that I was peeing and then I woke up and I was like, oh, you just had a dream you were peeing. I was so glad I didn't wet my bed. I mean, can you imagine like how bad would my day have been?